Hey, Rocketeers, this is your host, Greg Webb. If you want to hear more awesome audio adventures and are looking for a way to support the show, sign up for the brand new Rocketeer Club membership. As an official Rocketeer Club member, you will get access to the entire Purple Rocket Library ad-free. You'll also get access to exclusive series, like our fully produced sci-fi epic, Norb, or the improvised bedtime stories I tell to my kids. You'll get activity books to accompany each of the seasons. I'm releasing one per month until I'm caught up. You'll get discounted merch, book formatted read-alongs, and an app for a seamless listening experience. You can also gift a membership to your friends and family. So visit purplerocketpodcast.com or click the link in the episode description to sign up. Again, to get more audio adventures and help support the Purple Rocket, go to purplerocketpodcast.com or click the link in the description and sign up for an official Rocketeer Club membership. Thank you so much for your support, Rocketeers. And now, back to our show. Previously on Winglings, we reached the Tree of the Dead. Timothy's army was enormous. His minions waited for him to stab the tree with his sword to officially be crowned the Dark One. But Tim didn't go through with it. He tricked his minions into thinking he had and called for them to attack. My parents and the rest of the Daffodil Clan joined us, along with a handful of roses and some hummingbirds, but that was it. I told our small army to wait for my signal and then touch water and think of something that brings them joy. They didn't seem impressed with the plan, but agreed to try it. Hoping for a miracle, we flew out onto the battlefield. And now for episode 15, The Tree of the Dead. The Purple Rocket Podcast presents Winglings and the Fairy Kings. Sound of charging minions, buzzing black bees, thumping hardles, fluttering dark fairies, flapping lunas and crawling bungabos filled the air. They formed a dark, noisy wall that was heading right for us. Magborn and I led the charge ahead of our little army. It was just me, Mags, the orchids, daffodils, a couple of pixie knots, a handful of roses, and a row of hummingbirds flying with us to the rear. Up ahead, the minions picked up speed. Behind them, Emerald and Tim stood watch at the tree.
"This better work,"
Max said next to me.
"It'll work," I assured him. Truth was, I had barely a pixie flake's hope my plan would work. I had no idea if there was enough light in all of us to change a single dark fairy. But it was all we had. Max had his chance to propose his own plan, but he didn't. I took that to mean he had at least a little faith in mine, although the look on his face said otherwise.
"So they just need to think happy thoughts and touch water?"
His face was all scrunched up into his beard. "They need to summon at least a little joy if we're going to make this work," I said.
"You might want to get out that little flute of yours and play him a happy tune then."
I smiled. "We'll save the flute playing for later."
"Looking forward to it."
I nodded to the first row of approaching blackbees and dark fairies.
"Wind spells. 3, 2, 1.
Skafosfana!"
We threw out our hands and a massive gust of wind blew a path through the flying minions. Before they could stabilize themselves, we ducked our heads and pushed Pixie into our wings.
Shoo!
We skimmed over the dark army in a blur and reached the Tree of the Dead.
"Be quick with ya,"
Mag said, diving for Timothy.
Cling, cling!
His white Zaxxon smoke collided with Timothy's shadow blade. The two fought at the base of the tree, leaping, flying, striking, smoke swirling around them. I flew for Emerald. Trapna! I shouted. Vines sprang out of the tree's roots and wrapped around my sister. I scooped her up and flew for the nearest stream. Splash! As we hit the shallow water, I raised my Zaxxon and sent the signal. Boom! Crack! A green firework whistled and popped overhead. Behind me, the fairy saw the signal and touched the nearest stream with a hand or foot. They struggled to push aside their fear long enough to conjure a feeling of light, a small sense of joy. Mags flew back and touched water himself and pushed Pixie into it. I did the same. I immediately felt the cold water turn warm. And skin was starting to change. Her hair was slowly turning red again. It was working. Moments before the change was complete, Em cut herself free with her sister blades and flew out of the water. No! I shouted. Em flipped over me and brought her sister blades down with a tornado spin. Cling! I turned and blocked her attack just in time. Face it, Will, she said. You're never going to change me. Cling, clang, cling. I'll change you back if it takes me the rest of my life, I said. We fought in the air. Em's sister blades twirled in a blur. She was fast, but I was faster. Duck, back, up. Gabriel guided my hand, but made sure not to overcrowd my thoughts. He knew I'd need a clear mind for the task at hand. Maybe I held back too much Pixie on that last burst, I thought. She needed more. There were cheers coming from my army on the battlefield. I could see my people celebrating as Winnie and others welcomed a few changed fairies to our ranks. One of them was Bursley, the dandelion captain. He was soaking wet and confused, but took up his sword against the minions nonetheless. It worked! I shouted to Max. Max pulled away from his fight with the toad long enough to witness it for himself. By light it did, he mumbled. Tim sprang at him. Nuknu! He swiped his sword and a dozen flaming bone arrows shot out at Magborn.
Ephra Sapochvana!
Max shouted. A pillar of water grew out of the stream below and washed over most of the arrows. The few that remained were whipped away by his enchanted rope. A water spell, I whispered. That's a great idea. I turned to Em, who was charging me. Restoro Gephora! Splash! A wave curled out of the creek and crashed over her. Part of the wave stopped, suspended over her legs like a fountain of pulsing liquid. A tether of water connected my hand to the wave holding her down. I quickly fired the signal again. Boom! Crack! Our soldiers touched the water and imagined what they loved most. I pushed a massive burst of light pixie through the water into my sister. Sparkling mist swirled through the liquid and enveloped her. Gradually, her complexion lightened. Her hair reddened. But just before she could change back, she shouted, Buckna! An explosion of smoke shot out of her sister blades and instantly vaporized the water around her. I looked down at her horrified. She broke free of a wave. How in Mother Moon was I going to get her to change all the way? There were more cheers coming from the battlefield. I turned to see my army had pushed or pulled more minions into the water on my signal, and the newly changed fairy stood, soaking wet, looking around bewildered. Before long, they were taking up the sword against the Dark Army. I sensed the excitement building in my people. Their ranks were growing with every fairy we changed. I sent another signal just to witness it for myself. Boom! Crack! Soldiers of Light grabbed the minion closest to them and threw them into the water, and then concentrated for a brief moment. A dozen more dark fairies emerged, gasping, color returning to their faces. A couple of attempts weren't quite as successful. Lou had booted Luna into the water on my signal, but it just turned to dust as Light Pixie rushed through it.
Fooms.
Whoops, she shrugged. Hummingbirds zipped over the battlefield, darting between minions, protecting our soldiers every time there was a pause of concentrated thought. They were sword fighting with their sharp beaks, being careful not to strike down the enemy unless it was a black bee. I noticed they exercised considerably less restraint when engaging with the bees. They batted away their stinging charge and struck them down without remorse. Winnie had lowered the pixie power of her glove so she could stun minions with her fiery rays, making it easier for her and the others to get minions into the water every time I fired my signal. Foom crack! Foom crack! Foom crack! More cheers. Some of our soldiers were struggling against the endless hordes of minions. Exhaustion was taking hold. Their wings were slowing. And yet, every time the signal went up, more dark fairies were pushed into the water and our ranks grew and grew and grew. Foom crack! Stop doing that! Em shouted. She ducked her head and charged. Cling clang cling! We spun, jabbed, swiped, and cut, blocking each other's every move. During one of my spins, Em cut off my long, beautiful hair. I paused to watch my perfect hair float to the ground. Did you just... I looked up at her. It took me forever to grow that! Cling, clang, cling! It looked ridiculous, Em said, going in for another vicious swipe. Cling! Nearby, the Lunar Queen flew over the Dark Army and landed in front of Winnie. Hello, Winifred, she said with a hiss. Her bat wings folded behind her head. Winnie pulled her bangs out of her sweaty face. Annie, I finally found you, the Lunar Queen said, swirling the long black spear in her hands. No more hiding. No more flittering off with your orchid friends. Just you and me. She smiled. I've been waiting for this moment. Winnie readied her glove. That's interesting. I've been avoiding it. I noticed. The Lunar Queen glared at her. Lou ran over wielding a club. I was wondering when you'd show up, she said out of breath. Louise, the Lunar Queen chuckled. You've grown, and your clothes are as dirty as ever. Lou stuck out her tongue. You're looking as evil as ever. Me? Evil? I'm the sinister one? In case you're forgetting, you both left me, abandoned in my moment of desperation. You watched the Lunas fly off with me. You pretended to be our grandma, Winnie shot back. You stole us from the Orchid Clan. I didn't steal you. I found you, cast away, unwanted. You locked away our parents, Lou said. You kept fairy royalty in a chest like a couple of dolls. The Lunar Queen walked around the girls. They were getting in the way. I could have done worse. They have no right to you. You both belong to me. Winnie lowered her glove. What do you want, Annie? You want to go back to the way things were? Pretend that you're our grandma and that we aren't pixie royalty? The Lunar Queen stopped and looked between them for a long moment. Yes, she said calmly. What? Both girls said. The Lunar Queen stepped closer and said quietly, We can leave this place. I still have the house. We can forget about the fairies and the toad and the... Lunas? Winnie finished. The Lunar Queen nodded. Everything. We can be a family again. Winnie and Lou stared at her in stunned silence. But... Winnie finally spoke up. You've been leading the Lunas. You've done terrible things. I can change. I don't care about the Lunas
don't care about the dark army, the shadow, the incompetent, power-hungry amphibian. All I care about is you two.
It's a trick,
Lou said. No trick. Run away with me. Start over. Winnie slowly shook her head. We can't. We're pixie knots. We have a duty to the fairies. They welcomed us with open arms. We're happy. The word fell on the Luna Queen like a gust of foul air. Her face hardened again. If I can't have you, no one can. She threw out her hands and a burst of smoke shot out at the girls. Winnie stopped it with a blast from a pixie glove. Vroom, boom, crack. An explosion of dark and light pixie sent the Luna Queen flying back over the army. After a rough tumble, she scrambled to her feet, let out a shrill yell, and then flew out of the battle. Em and I weren't making much progress. It was as if the dark pixie had somehow quickened her moves and empowered her strikes. She was much better with her blades compared to when we last trained together. I should have easily been able to overtake her by now. Cling, clang, cling. You know how long it took me to grow my hair out? I shouted, not able to let it go. However long it takes a king to shirk his responsibilities? Touché. Cling, clang, cling. I flew down to the ground, tossed my Zaxxon aside, and threw up my hands. I'm done fighting you, Emerald. If you want to be a minion for the rest of your days, so be it. Beats having to carry you around on my back. Em hissed and dove for me. Just before she could reach me, I shouted, Flickra! My wings sprang to life and zipped me out of the way in a blur. Splash! Em landed hard in the creek behind me. Gabriel! I called. My Zaxxon flew over to my hand. I grabbed him, aimed him at the sky, and fired the signal. Boom! Crack! My army stepped into the water and concentrated. Mags pulled away from his fight with Tim to push light into the creek, and I rammed my sword down into the water and pushed a powerful jolt of light into it. White light. I could hardly see my surroundings, it was so bright. Glorious warmth. My skin prickled. The air hummed. Through the glare, I could see a glowing gold trail swirling through the creek around my sister. It spun her, brightened her, and then spit her out. Splash! Em landed on her feet in front of me and gasped, sopping wet. I waited. Em examined herself. She looked at her skin. She touched her face. She held up her now beautiful, fiery orange hair. Color had returned to her face. Em? I said, taking a step towards her. Em's expression suddenly darkened. Join the Dark Army or perish, she croaked. Garbers! Em smiled. Kidding! What? I laughed. That was horrible! I flew over and wrapped her in my wings. Em pulled back and looked me over. You cut your hair. I like it. I grinned. Guess we both have a new look. You're not going to sing now, are you? Oh, shut it. I looked at the battle behind us. Many more dark fairies had changed with that last powerful surge of light. We're pushing light pixie through the water to change them. It's working. At the base of the tree, Magborn was struggling to hold off Tim. Tim's Shadow Zaxxon was casting all sorts of enormous, powerful spells. He stabbed the ground in black vines and tangled mags. He twirled it and many tornadoes of fire spun towards him. Boom, boom, boom. Another spell sent black, rose-shaped cannonballs hurling at him. Magborn had thus far averted the spells, but he was losing power. I could see how drained he was. I sensed his fatigue. He must have pushed all he had into the water. I squeezed my Zaxxon and nodded in their direction. Shall we? M twirled her sister blades. We shall.
We flew for Tim and brought our swords down. Clang! Tim's huge shadow blade blocked both our strikes. The enormous sword swooped, twirled, and jabbed as me and M went at him. The Shadow Saxon was clearly moving of its own volition. Tim looked terrified to be facing us both at the same time. He was in no state to concentrate on his sword's movements. But here it was, guiding his hands with lightning speed, balancing its impossible weight, countering and blocking our every move. Luckily, he had no room to cast a spell. Then again, neither did we. "Drop it, Tim!" I said. A bitter cold followed the toad's every move.
"I can't!"
Cling, clang, cling, clang. "Just throw your sword aside," Em urged.
"I can't!"
I realized what was happening. Tim couldn't drop his sword even if he wanted to. The Shadow Saxlin had taken control of him. I looked at Em. "Remember that spell we did together? You mean the one that almost blew us up? How could I forget?" "Aim for the sword and hit the water on the follow-through." Em scrunched her face. "Are you daft?" I bounced my eyebrows. "As daft as they come." I took her hand and pushed Pixie into her. Em did the same to me. Our skin glowed brighter and brighter. We pulled as much dark Pixie from the air as we could and changed it to light. Our free hands followed the guiding movements of Gabriel and the Sister Blades, blocking the Shadow Zaxlin's panic strikes. Finally, we were full. I counted down. 3, 2, 1. "Starfire!" we both shouted. Shoo! We blasted towards Tim like a shooting star. Wham! We knocked the Shadow Saxon out of his hands and sent it flying, and then splash! We landed in the creek behind him. When we hit it, a massive tidal wave of sparkling water rose above us. Rose higher and higher, curling above the trees, shadowing the battlefield. Everyone stopped fighting to watch it loom over them. The minions tried to flee, but the wave was too large. It crashed down over them with a gushing whoosh. Hordes of Lunas, Blackbees, and Lizards turned to dust under the weight of the Pixie Water. But dark fairies, many, many dark fairies, tumbled through the wave and emerged, changed to their old selves. Once they'd shaken off the confusion, they picked up their swords and joined our ranks. Now we far outnumbered the Dark Army. The minions who remained retreated into the Black Forest, screeching and moaning. Waist deep in the creek, Em and I watched our army burst into cheers. The waterways around us sparkled with light Pixie. At the edge of the battlefield, the Luna Queen watched the celebration. She gazed down at the glittering stream in front of her, and for a moment, considered touching it. Her hand stopped just above it. She heard a familiar laugh in the distance. She looked up and saw Winnie and Lou hugging Oliver in the orchids, laughing and jumping up and down. Tears in her eyes, the Queen pulled her hand back and disappeared into the trees. I looked over the battlefield at the celebrating fairies. Families and friends were reuniting. Those who were recovering from the transformation were consoled. It was clear that amidst the happy reunions, there were many who were confused and needed an explanation of what had transpired. Magborn was over there thanking the soldiers and giving a special thanks to the few rose fairies who'd shown up to help. In the distance, separated from the group, was one very sad-looking toad. Timothy sat on his knees next to a stream, head hanging low. Me and Em flew over.
"Are you okay?"
I asked, landing next to him. Tim didn't reply. "Come back with us," I said. Em sat down beside him.
"We miss you, Tim. What would Emerald Creek be without our favorite toad?"
"It's too late," Tim sniffed. "I'm drowning in shadow. Even my bones are rotten.
I put an arm around him. It's never too late to change, Tim. It's never too late to embrace the light. Tim looked up at the celebrating fairies.
They'll never accept me now.
I shrugged. Most will. Some may not. Those who really matter accept you. Em nudged Tim with a shoulder. Our clan needs you. This is what you want, Tim. Otherwise you would have retreated back into those trees with the rest of them. You would have stabbed the tree and made it official.
That sword, Tim croaked. It was poisoning my mind. I couldn't. There are things I've done.
Tim, I stopped him. Forget it all. I nodded to the sparkling creek. It's time to start over. Tim hesitated, and then got to his feet, let out a long breath, and stepped into the water. Light pixie swirled up his legs and stopped at his knees. He stepped deeper until he was floating on his back downstream. His eyes closed. Warm, glowing pixie glittered over his body. His pale skin turned bright green. Many of his spots vanished. His eyes brightened, and then he sank.
Gobbles!
Em and I flew over to him. Splash! Tim sprang out of the water, did a front flip, and landed on the ground, laughing.
I feel light as a feather. Why, I could fly like a fairy.
He leaped, spread his arms, and face-planted in the dirt.
Maybe not fly, he groaned.
Em and I laughed and helped him up. I brushed the dirt off his shoulders and gave my best friend a big hug. Welcome back, I said. All around us, creeks and streams sparkling with pixie flowed out into the forest, where they would soon connect to more waterways and spread light throughout the realm. Rocketeers, I hope you enjoyed that episode of Winglings and the Fairy Kings. We only have one episode left. One episode left. This is kind of like a two-episode finale. So I hope you're enjoying it. I hope you like how this is wrapping up. I want to thank my mom, Roxanne Webb, for helping edit these stories, and Jeremy from HarmoniousIdeas.com for helping edit the audio. I love the story of redemption and change in this story. And I know, I guess I can talk more about this at the end of the next episode, but this episode really just hit home for me that we all struggle. We all have issues that we work with in our personal lives, our family, our friends, but we could always improve. We could always find that light in those dark moments. And sometimes it's a family member or a friend who reaches out and kind of shows us that light and takes us out of those dark moments when we're in the shadows. Sometimes we, Rocketeers, need to be that light and recognize when those around us, those we love, need a little extra attention, a little light, and we can reach out to them and lift them up and make them feel loved and care for them. So anyway, I loved this episode. I hope you did too, and I'm excited for the last episode here coming up. Be sure to tune in. Till next time, this is your host, Greg Webb.